This morning, as we ended our study, we found ourselves on the banks of the Red Sea. And I would like to take some of the comments that were made at the end of the study and connect them now to where we are in the book of Colossians. The subject of the conference, the sovereign purpose of God in providing redemption through Christ. When we think of the purpose of God, we ended our study in Exodus chapter 6. And in Exodus chapter 6, the purpose of God is defined for us, summarized very nicely. We read in Exodus chapter 6 that in verse 4, that God would bring his people out of bondage, that he would bring them, redeem, that he would save them, as we had this morning, provide the salvation for them to redeem them and bring them out of bondage. And essentially, that's where we ended this morning, on the banks of the Red Sea. The children of Israel, they had been brought out from under the authority of Pharaoh, under the bondage of Pharaoh and Egypt. They had been delivered from that, and now they were on the shores of the Red Sea. And it's a wonderful thing that God, in his amazing grace, as we had this morning, didn't just come down now to redeem and to bring us out. The purpose of God isn't finished. In fact, it's just begun. Because in Exodus chapter 6, you go down a couple of more verses to verse 8, and you find the other side. First, he brings them out of bondage, and then we read that he might bring them into blessing, into the place that God had prepared for them. For the children of Israel, it was the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. But the purpose of God is ever the same, that his desire is that he would bring a people, his people, that he would redeem them and bring them out from bondage and then bring them into blessing. So in salvation and redemption, we have the people of Israel separated from the authority of Pharaoh, their position in Egypt. Now we come through the Red Sea. And the other comment that was made is that we don't find that we actually read, though we know physically they did, but we don't read that they came up, out, and were on the other banks of the Red Sea. But we do read this statement when we come to the Jordan River. And so the children of Israel came out of the Red Sea, went through the wilderness for 40 years, and now they're at the Jordan. That's really what we just sang about. The Jordan that speaks to us of death and resurrection with Christ. Identification with him in death. And identification with him in resurrection, in new life, in a new position, and under new authority as unto him. So in redemption, we have been separated from, and now we are separated unto Christ and under a new authority. The purpose of God to bring into blessing and to give life, new life, and that life that is in him. The wonderful thing about salvation is that he didn't just save us now, thinking of that eternal day when there will be that separation, eternal separation, those who knew him or those who don't. And those who don't and have not accepted Christ as their Savior, to an eternity of separation and judgment in the lake of fire. But he has saved us for now, for the present and for eternity to come. Now for the praise and the glory of his name here in the scene that he has been rejected. And likewise for the eternity to come, for the glory of his person and the greatness of who he is. And for the eternal praise of himself that he might share with those whom he has redeemed, that love that is his, that he acted according. We come to Colossians now in the New Testament. We come as going through the Jordan, we come onto resurrection ground. And we find, and I'll read a verse in Colossians chapter 1, because this history is given to us here and summarized very well for us in the scriptures. And if we begin here, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. Now notice, this is what we've had. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. And now notice this. He has translated us or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, they were under the authority of Pharaoh. Now they have come out. Now we are on resurrection ground, and they're under the authority of another, their Savior. Applying this to us, we have been translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, he hasn't only redeemed us. Let's go to verse 21, and this is where we begin in our, began in our reading. And as we already alluded to this morning, that in verse 21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies, this was our position before redemption. Now we have come into relationship with Christ through new birth. And he says here, not, you were sometime, this is past tense, alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. And now, present tense, hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. He has reconciled us now, given us new life. And now, as we look at the study that is before us, for what purpose? And as we see and we look at the verses in chapter 2, for example, we will see him as not only the source of that new life, but we will also see him as the resource of that new life. The source, the beginning, and the resource, that which continues on and doesn't change. And then as we look at these scriptures, we see our position in Christ. We see that we have, past tense, died with him. We'll see that we have risen with him. This is all past and present tense. And then we will see, even as that last verse that was added, is that we shall be glorified and seen with him. And that puts us on in connection with the day that would come. But our life that is in him, and that is our life, what is that life for us today as believers here in this world who have been redeemed and now reconciled? What is that life for me as I am in this scene?